And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Woke up this morning. I was pretty fired up.
Volume's picking up a little bit.
This is what you've done. This is where you can grow.
I thought today he had a really good day.
Is he making better decisions and better throws?
I'm excited about the guys that are here.
Hey, I thought he spun the ball well.
There's a really good vibe right now, and it's fun. It's Hogan
Johns. Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin quarter mile.
Ready for the...
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
The football gods are always on the Bears' shoulder.
Go Bears! Go Bears!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Ho.
Are there any signs that there's a bigger issue of disrespect? Is Jordan Love bad?
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
It's clear to me that they're going to make him earn that left tackle spot. There's some good signs there. It's okay to be excited.
It's the Adams.
The Adams converge.
Hogan Johns.
And we are underway.
What's up? Welcome in week two preview episode. Hogan Johns, the 1-0 Cincinnati Bengals, undefeated Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. Look at this firepowered Cincinnati team coming to Soldier Field this week against the no longer vaunted Chicago Bears defense. At least if we're going to make week one overreactions, that is what this matchup looks like.
Yes, you're right on that. It's the Andy Dalton revenge game week. I'm sure everybody in Chicago is extremely excited about that storyline against the Bengals.
Yes, I'm sure it'll be just like his game against Cincinnati last year, where it's an amazing ovation and there's signs in the stands that say, thank you, Andy. Just going to be the warmest welcome at Soldier Field.
It is not.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I'm with Justin Fields on that. He doesn't deserve that. If he's playing in the game and he's the quarterback, then the fans should be rooting for him. But at least to start the game. If he struggles, then I totally understand what's probably going to happen. And we'll see where this one goes. That's why we're here to break it all down for you as we get into week two. Of course, my name's Adam Hoge. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Hoge. He's Adam Johns on Twitter at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read me at NBCSportsChicago.com. Got the film review up, which is sort of a patchwork job this week since the NFL is apparently now going to be giving us the All-22 on Fridays, which is incredibly helpful. If you can't sense the sarcasm there, Johns' stuff is up on The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you go to subscribe. And the presenting sponsor for today's episode of Hogan Johns is Visa, a network working for everyone. All right, some things to dive into from Hallis Hall yesterday. Again, if you weren't with us last week, Matt Nagy no longer talks on Wednesdays. It's coordinator day. It's Andy Dalton day. And, well, where should we start?
I think we should just play the audio, Bill Lazor.
Okay. So here's an exchange with Bill Lazor yesterday, my colleague at NBCSportsChicago.com, Alex Shapiro. It's a little hard to hear his question here at the beginning. So if you can't hear it, it is essentially based on what you saw from Justin handling those five snaps against the Los Angeles Rams. Can he handle an entire series?
I would have said after the preseason that he's moving quickly and ready for whatever's thrown at him. So I don't think anything's changed.
If he's ready for it, then why isn't he getting those additional chances?
I think Matt's probably addressed what his philosophy is on the quarterback position. I don't think that's for me to answer that.
When you were in Cincinnati with Dalton,
sorry. That's okay. I was laughing just more at.
When you were in Cincinnati with Dalton, how was he?
Pretty awkward there at the end, huh?
Yeah.
Let me start with this. Like, certain context is needed. Since we've covered Bill Lazor here with the Bears, he is routinely deferred to Matt Nagy. continuously calling it Matt Nagy's offense, even when it was his play calls that were being discussed. Like Bill Lazor's in charge of the play calls. He's always called it Matt Nagy's offense. So he is always deferred to Matt Nagy. But I think the extra awkwardness of this exchange just shows you how delicate this now is in terms of the readiness of Justin Fields, like in the conversation about it, because I think the Bears want to try to stick with this plan, especially Matt Nagy. But I think everybody is just starting to realize or has realized that Justin Fields just might be ready to play a full game.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly pretty much how I put it in my I started doing this column on Wednesdays on the coordinator, so you can kind of read the summary of everything you need to know from Bill Lazor, Sean Desai, and Chris Tabor yesterday. But, you know, it started with this, and the headline is Bears are out of explanations for why Fields isn't the starter. I mean, it's just what it is. And you know, it's fair questioning, tough questioning from Alex Shapiro there, because it's the question everyone wants to know. Because you guys keep saying he's ready. They're not shying away from that at all. Nagy's done the same thing. So if he's handling everything so well, why doesn't he play more? And I also understand Bill's answer, because it's clearly Matt Nagy's call. And now, I will say, if you just read the transcript, it comes off as a little bit more like he's throwing Nagy under the bus.
He's not.
I didn't get the sense, and maybe hopefully hearing that audio helps with that. But it still goes back to the point that, you know, here's the offense coordinator saying, you know, I would have said after the preseason that he's ready for anything we throw at him. The Bears have admitted he's ready by making him the backup. And then by physically playing him. Which the second they did that, took him beyond the Patrick Mahomes plan. Because Patrick Mahomes didn't play.
Never did that.
So we're already past that point. The inevitable is coming.
I think what I would like to hear from Matt Nagy, we may hear it later today being Thursday, or later on Friday. I just think, since we're at this point, if Nagy goes, you know what, guys? Yeah, we think he's ready, but we just want to give him a little bit more time.
But why?
I know, I get it, but just explain yourself. But why? Yeah. That's the question outside, but I just think there needs to be more of a thorough explanation, and it's got to be it. We just want to give him a little bit more time to learn behind the scenes. We think he's close to ready, maybe even ready for a lot of stuff, but we don't see any harm in giving him two more weeks of learning behind the scenes. Now, they won't give you a timeline on things, but just articulate why he's not playing as much as Andy Dalton.
And that's where I thought, here's what I thought was interesting about Bill Lazor's answer. Because he could have gone into some of the things that Andy Dalton does well or did well against the Rams as like a reason why they're sticking with Andy. And he didn't do that. He's just like, essentially, he asked the head coach. But come on, you and I have been covering the NFL long enough. We've been covering the Bears long enough. And when the consensus outside the building is this united, and now nationally, I mean, it doesn't matter what show you turn on in the morning nationally, they are grilling the Bears. Even did you see the Kyle Brandt rant?
Yeah.
NFL Network? Yeah. That was really well done. My friend Nick Wright on FS1 yesterday, you know, he went in on the Bears. It's when it's this united outside the building, at a minimum, it is not unanimous in the other direction inside the building. That fair to say? Like, you know that there's people inside the Bears organization right now saying the same things we are. They're probably listening to this podcast right now going, uh-huh, yep.
Thumbs up.
Because that type of stuff happens.
But that's okay, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
like, those debates, yes.
Once that starts to happen, especially because there's a lot of people inside the building, but once it starts to trickle into, like, the coaching staff and the locker room, that's where there needs to be, I think, a little bit of a sense of urgency. And all of this, in my opinion, can blow up if you lose to the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, I don't want to oversell what this game is. And I know we got to get to our three questions here in a minute to preview the game. But like I thought some of the limitations of Andy Dalton were on full display against the Rams, right? If he doesn't, again, surprise me, and there's a lot of people like in our comment sections on The Athletic saying, like give Andy Dalton a chance. Like, no, Andy Dalton's got a chance for like 10 or 11 years. This is exactly who he is. You know?
Yes.
Maybe give Justin Fields a chance. I read this, I think it was Dan Orlovsky this morning, talking about what type of coverages you're going to see from defenses and stuff like that and the type of plays they're going to take away and how it spoke to what the Rams do all the time with their safeties and, you know, playing over the top, eliminating the big plays.
You mean with Andy playing?
Yeah. It wasn't specifically directed at Andy, just in general about how he thinks defensive coverages are going to play, where you're going to see less man, more shell coverages and whatnot. And I thought to myself, that is exactly why Justin Fields should be playing. For everything I keep saying on this podcast, it's the play after the play, right? When that first and second read isn't there, and you just need your quarterback to be your best playmaker on the field. Like, eventually the Bears are going to need that, and I think Andy Dalton has his limitations, and Justin Fields just gives you so much more on the field in so many different ways.
Yep. And by the way, I'm totally prepared for him to come in and have some struggles, too. Like, that's going to happen. He's still a rookie. But I think everyone at this point kind of understands what the season is, and I'm just a big believer that you have to play to get the experience. There's only so much you can get on the sideline. And you just got to do it. It's got to happen. All right. Should we get to the three big questions?
Yeah, let's go through them quickly here. All right, number one, Mr. Hogue. Will Khalil Mack hit the quarterback this week?
I just cannot. It's amazing that this is one of the questions. Like, this is where we're at. Could you ever imagine when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack that four seasons later in week two, this would be one of the questions. Will he hit the quarterback?
Yeah, forget sacking. Hit him.
Just hit the quarterback. Will he touch the quarterback? You know, and I do also remember us talking about the way in that the day they traded him and the podcast we did, saying that, you know, probably on the back end of this contract and there's going to come a time where it's not going to look like a great trade. I don't know if we're quite to that point because I still think the trade is 100% defensible. But, man, he just doesn't seem like the same guy.
No. Especially when you compare him to what other pass rushers are doing. Because you're not going to convince me otherwise that TJ Watt doesn't get schemed against, doesn't get chipped, doesn't have double teams to face, right? Like, and he's out there, you know, raising hell every single snap.
And by the way, I saw a video on Twitter this morning showing how Brandon Staley was able to get Joey Bosa one-on-ones.
Yes.
With this scheme.
Yeah. So Khalil Mack got one-on-ones, I believe.
Yes, he did. Win them. I'll say yes, he hits the quarterback.
Okay. Number two. Can your guy, David Montgomery, surpass 100 rushing yards for the second consecutive game?
I'm going to say he comes just short, but still has a good game. You know, because 41 of those yards came on one run. Yeah, he might be able to bust another one. I think David Montgomery's for real, and I think he's going to continue to have good, productive games. I'm sure he finds the end zone in this game, if I had to put my money on that. But to go 100 rushing yards again, I'm just going to side towards the under.
So the Vikings had to pass a lot. Like, I think Kirk Cousins had 50 or 49 pass attempts because they were behind.
Yeah,
they trailed the Bengals by, I think, two or three scores at one point before mounting a comeback. But Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the game, still had 20 carries against the Bengals, but he only gained 61 yards. His long was 17. So I'm with you. He flirts. I like using that word when it comes to rushing production. He flirts with 100 yards. He's obviously the Bears' identity on offense until Justin Fields takes the field, but I don't think he reaches it. Question number three, if I can find it here. All right, question number three. All right, Adam, let's set the over-under for Justin Fields' snaps this week against the Bengals. I'm going with 6.5.
No.
Going over?
I'm taking the over on this one. I think the pressure is mounting. I think he showed he can handle it. And we also heard Matt Nagy say after the game that if they weren't in so much of a two-minute mode in that fourth quarter, Fields probably would have played more. So that tells me that last week there was a scenario where he hits the over on the 6.5. And it just, that's not how the game flow went. So I'm going to hit the over on this one, over 6.5 snaps.
I feel like maybe it's just the Chicago in me. You're just bracing yourself for disappointment where it's just one more snap than the previous game because things don't go right when Andy Dalton's on the field. And you get the 6 snaps and 3 of them are end the rounds to Marquise Goodwin. I'll tell you what, though. I see another shovel pass, I'm tired of that play.
Oh, that play just doesn't work anymore, man.
Absolutely tired of that play, yes.
It wasn't working in practice.
No.
When they were running it in training camp.
No, I don't know what you like about it at this point. There's a lot of film of it. You almost know. If I know if it's coming, the defense with a week's worth of preparation knows it's coming too. That's all I'm going to say.
It's like if you motion Allen Robinson into the middle as the ball's being snapped, you should probably watch for that play.
Easy read for the middle linebacker. Just take that off the Justin Fields play sheet, please.
Can I throw in a bonus one real quick?
Go ahead.
Any scenario in this game where we see all of a sudden a quick hook like we saw in Atlanta last year and an actual quarterback change in the middle of the game?
If he throws two interceptions, if Andy Dalton throws two interceptions and the second one is ugly. Let's not forget, it took a really ugly interception by Mitch Trubisky for that quick hook of Matt Nagy to come out.
Yep. And it was a quick hook. Like, that's, to me, always been on the table here. As stubborn as they're being about this plan, we also know they really do want to play him. And
they want to win, too. Eventually, they're...
Right?
They got to try to win the game.
So, if you're losing in the second quarter, you get a bad interception, does Justin Fields come trotting out of that locker room with his helmet on at halftime? Imagine that scene at Soldier Field. That would be something. So I think there's a scenario. I'm not saying it's likely, but I do think there's a scenario.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, those are our three big questions for this week, Bears and Bengals, and we need to get some more insight on the Bengals as we do every week. So we're going to bring in Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic, the host of Hear That Podcast Growling, to give us more insight here on the Bengals. Paul, Andy Dalton, you can't get away from him, huh? Here he is. And you know, we were just kind of joking around about how the reception is going to be a little bit different than it probably was last year in Cincinnati because, you know, he's already dealing with boos here from the Bears fans who just want to see Justin Fields.
He's probably used to that. I mean, you know, the last few years he was here, I mean, there was people really turned and started to appreciate Andy for what he was here. But, I mean, people forget the storyline right before his greatest season in Cincinnati in 2015, which he had a cast of stars all around him with A.J. Green and Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu and Tyler Eifert and Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler, was he got booed at the baseball all-star game in Cincinnati at the like the pros versus Joes type game they do on the Sunday night. And he came out, he was there, and Andy Dalton, right? And everybody booed him. I know this because I was there having to cover it. And I was just trying to write some soft thing on Snoop Dogg. And next thing I know, I'm down in the locker room waiting on Andy to come out to address the fact that he got booed. And you know, he was, of course, as nice as a human as you could ever be about it and talked very openly about, they weren't booing me when I hit those two home runs in that game. He was mostly proud of that. But he kind of turned that in to the greatest season he'd ever had. Like, it just doesn't, that type of stuff just doesn't really affect him. Like, he really is good at compartmentalizing and not dealing with that. And he's dealt with stuff like that his entire career, at least while he was in Cincinnati.
So this is interesting. So I do believe that he will be booed early. There will be a chance for Justin Fields, like even before the first offensive snap. That's like one of my predictions for this week. So you think that's more motivation? Because let's be honest, since that season you mentioned, I mean, it's been pretty downhill for Andy Dalton. I mean, does he still have that type of performance in him, or does he need like the best help that he can get?
Yeah, I mean, he is the NASCAR driver that needs the perfect car. You know, I mean, he's not going to be the driver that's going to, it's not going to be Days of Thunder out there. You know, I mean, you need to have the pieces around him for him to really succeed. I will say it's hard to be the 21st best quarterback in the world. Like, that's a hard thing to do. And that's why he has had value at place. He had it here when Marvin Lewis was still here, and he had it in Dallas even. But you know, at a certain point, there's just an ultimate frustration in that for everybody, especially when you've already got the next guy in house. Like, you feel like you might be having Justin Fields, but I think he'll always have value. He can go out there and win you games. He's certainly going to be efficient. He's going to know the game pre-snap. He's going to get the ball out quick. He knows how to deal with bad offensive lines. All that stuff, like, he's got that. And he has had that. I think he still does. You know, I haven't watched him very closely the last couple of years outside of when he came to Cincinnati last year and got his sort of revenge win. But I think that you can win with him. But you're ultimately always going to feel like, you know, unless we put the perfect puzzle around him, you know, it's never going to get you where you want to go.
So, Paul, let's talk about Andy's replacement in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. He certainly has looked pretty good so far. And all of a sudden, he's got Ja'Marr Chase to throw the ball to. Joe Mixon's obviously a good running back. It's like suddenly this is a pretty good offense. I mean, it's a small sample size, I guess. But, I mean, how much are you buying what they did last week and what they could potentially do this week against the Bears secondary that just looked awful against the Rams? I mean, if I'm Tyler Boyd, I'm drooling over that matchup potentially against the Bears nickel.
Yeah, I actually was on our Hear That Podcast, Growlin' Podcast, we were just talking about. I said, this feels like a Tyler Boyd game. You're going to see a lot of attention now paid to Ja'Marr Chase after what he did, which is the idea in drafting him number 5 overall, was now, you know, T. Higgins, who was the breakout star last year at receiver, you know, in games that Joe Burrow and T. Higgins started together last year, because it took a while for T. to break in the starting lineup. They, if you extrapolate those 8 games over the course of, you know, a 16-game season last year, it would have been over 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. I mean, they were a great connection together once they started playing together. And the midpoint of last season, like, it was about a 4-week stretch, the Bengals led the league in points per drive. People don't realize that because Burrow got hurt and that was the storyline after, but they were putting it together. And even in the game he got hurt against Washington, you know, arguably one of the best defenses in the league, they'd run up 200 yards of offense, passing offense by halftime. They have the pieces that, and Burrow has had it going and had it cooking. And you add Chase doing what he did in the opener, you really see the options. It's a very real explosive offense. Now, they missed the over-the-top stuff. They never had that last year. They were awful, and Burrow was, you know, maybe the worst in the league throwing the ball plus 20 yards downfield. He only had one completion with 20-plus air yards for a touchdown last year, just one, and now he equaled that already in the opener. So I think they feel like they added the element they needed to really make the offense cook, and there's no reason to believe that they can't be that this year. They already did it before Burrow got hurt last year.
We know a few things about the lack of a downfield passing game here in Chicago. This last week, we covered Trubisky, who was not good over 20 yards. Did I read somewhere that, like, Burrow said that his knee was sore, but he feels okay?
Yeah.
So I did see that. That was alarming to me at one point. But kind of going off that, like, how's his protection then? Like, since that knee is a topic, it is sore or felt sore a couple days ago. I saw that he was sacked 5 times. Mm-hmm. By the Vikings. So has that protection at all improved?
Maybe. How's that for you for confidence? I mean, look, Riley Reiff is better than Bobby Hart. Okay, so we'll start there. Right tackle is much better. I mean, they were a disaster at right tackle, and Reiff has bought stability. Jonah Williams looks like the number 11 overall pick he was in 2019 as far as he's charting towards that, looking for his first full healthy season. They have issues up the middle. To me, I look at this, and this is just Akeem Hicks. It's just scary as all get out to me, because, I mean, they have problems. That's where their weak spot is. Trey Hopkins gave up a couple of sacks to Michael Pierce, where he's got beat in one-on-one. Now, Trey Hopkins is okay at center, but he tore his ACL in the finale last year, and admirable, unbelievable that he worked his way back to be a ready to go by the beginning of training camp, but he was eased in. He had 3 preseason snaps, and he had to go out there in the opener and play a full load, and I don't think he was, you know, he's still not quite there. So what do you got there? You know, you've got a weakness, and you've got 2 guards that are okay, right? I mean, and so there, that's where your real concern is. They had some scheme issues. It wasn't as bad as it looked. 5 sacks sounds bad, was bad. He got hit and had to hobble off at one point and get on a bike to keep himself warm, which is where the knee thing came from. But pressure percentage was middle of the pack in the NFL. I mean, it was right around 15th in the league. And guess what? They'll take that. After last year, they love that. That's kind of the goal, is if they can end the year 17th in the league in pressure percentage, like, this offense will cook, and they feel like it really will, if that can happen. I don't know if that's going to happen, or if you're going to see more big hits on Burrow like we kind of saw in the opener against Minnesota.
Well, from what I'm hearing from you, it sounds like the Bengals are going to be able to score some points in this game, because I think the trust in the Bears' defense is close to gone now at this point. I mean, I don't think they're a bad unit, but it certainly sounds like with this offense that the Bengals are going to be able to find the end zone at least 2 or 3 times in the game. So how about the defense? Is this a defense that Andy Dalton, you know Andy Dalton, if he's in there throughout the whole game, is this a matchup that he can matriculate the ball down the field and do enough to keep up with what I think might be a couple more explosive plays that the Bears give up on the other side of the ball to Joe Burrow?
Well, it's not the same group he saw last year when he came in with Dallas. I mean, it's very different. I mean, if I actually went back and counted, I think there's maybe 4 or 5 guys that are back. I mean, they totally reformed the defensive line. They added Trey Hendrickson for $15 million, which is he was just basically a replacement for Carl Lawson. They added Larry Ogunjobi at the 3-tech, which was really, I think, under the radar, their biggest move that they made in free. He is just a force in there, and they feel like they really unleashed him. He didn't really play 3-tech in Cleveland for 4 years, but he was really explosive and disruptive, kind of playing over the nose. Well, everybody feels like this is where he belongs, and he looked it. He was dominant in the opener in every way, right up the middle. And they traded for B.J. Hill, who is a really nice rotational piece up the middle. They extended Sam Hubbard. You know, they made a big investment in fixing that defensive line, which was last in sacks and just abysmal in getting pressure last year. And it showed. I mean, they just wrecked the entire game against Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's offensive line has its woes. I feel like we say that, you know, every week. So many teams have these issues, but they really just dominated. They created 6 holding calls, 5 that were accepted in early on, and false starts and illegal formations because they're trying to back up off the line because they were getting beat. I mean, they were just absolutely dominant, which is the exact opposite of what they were last year. So in that respect, it's a very different defense. and they're a little bit more confident in their defensive back end because they went and got all new, they have all new corners. Chidobe Awuzie is here now. Trey Waynes is not going to play. He still is yet to play after signing as a free agent in 2020. But, you know, Eli Apple will start. He's their weak link. Mike Hilton is much better in the slot. So it's all new guys. I mean, so we're kind of all learning together what this defense is going to be. But for openers, they were really dynamic up front. And that was a very different thing that we've seen around here for a while.
Any other matchups that you're curious about this week? You mentioned Hicks between the against the interior of the Bengals line. We mentioned Boyd and whoever plays. I don't even think, like, it was Marquis Christian last week against the Rams. I think it's going to be Duke Shelley personally this time. That's a matchup to watch. Any other matchups you're looking forward to this week? And then I'm curious, where do you see this game going? Like, well, what's your pick?
Yeah, I'm really interested, you know, to see Jesse Bates. He had in the game against Dalton last year in Dallas, he had a should have been interception that he just dropped right off his hands. You know, he knows Andy really well. He's an incredible center fielder. I mean, he's one of the best safeties in the league, and certainly one of the best center fielders in the league. And if Chicago and Andy get a little frustrated by not throwing that, you know, everything being underneath and try to take some shots and maybe force some shots, Jesse's the one that's going to be there. And he has known how to read Andy in the past. I'm curious to see if he'll be able to read if Chicago gets antsy or gets behind and feels like they need to throw something a little bit further. And if Bates is able to make a play and get a big pick and turnover, and, you know, that's kind of his MO back there. He's looking for that all the time and feels a lot of regret over dropping the one last year that he felt like he should have had on Dalton. So that's one that I'll watch. And as far as what I think, I mean, I really despise picking the Bengals on the road. I mean, they're 114-1 under Taylor on the road. I mean, it's like, but I got to tell you, it's weird. Year to year, things change. This team feels very different. They act differently. They are different. They finally turned over the roster. I mean, since the new coach came in, it was like they were holding on to these old pieces, and Carlos Dunlap was still here, and Geno Atkins was still here, and AJ Green was still here, and Giovanni Bernard was still here. Guys from 2015, and there was just like this holding on to the past, and they finally cut all ties and have a very young, excitable, kind of hungry out to prove themselves roster, and that's what they looked like on Sunday. It was a very different. They have a very different feel to them. I don't know if they'll handle success well. I don't know if they'll play on the road well. But I tend to bet with Burrow. The guy's got it, man. He's got it. He's got something that knows how to make everybody go the right direction, and he has no problem being the guy on fourth and an eyelash in the game, hanging in the balance, throwing it 30 yards down the field to CJ Uzomah for the win, which he did against Minnesota, which is just kind of the dude he is. And so I'm betting with him. I have Bengals 27-20.
Well, meanwhile, I feel like we're covering the exact same team. So that doesn't bode well if you're feeling a new vibe over there in Cincinnati, because everything here is basically the same. All right, Paul, thank you so much. Really good stuff. We appreciate the insight, and we'll see how it goes on Sunday.
Yep, see you guys then.
All right, there. Thanks, he is, Paul. Paul Dehner. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Dehner Jr. That's spelled D-E-H-N-E-R. Host of Hear That Podcast Growlin'.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, John, so we heard it from the Cincinnati side. Paul's going with the Bengals. 27-20.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, like, a significant
new
cover.
Bengals, the new Bengals. I'm with them on the Joe Burrow conversation. We talked about this, a couple podcasts ago? Like, when I evaluate games, I start at the quarterback position. Who's got the better QB in terms of making my picks, right? And I take Joe Burrow over Andy Dalton. I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah. Well, the Bengals would.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did. Yeah.
Yeah.
They literally did, and then they said goodbye to Andy. They were just ready to play the kid. How about that? Like, for a side storyline, the Bengals didn't see value in playing Joe Burrow behind Andy Dalton. Yeah, that was a thing. Meanwhile, different story here in Chicago, Adam.
That's the facts. That's 100% truth.
So I'll go first with my prediction. I agree with a lot of what Paul just said. And I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow. I loved him coming out. I was a huge fan of Ja'Marr Chase coming out. Drafted him in my fantasy league this year. I'm probably going to play him this week, considering the matchup. I think the Bengals are going to score points. And I don't know that the Bears can keep up with Andy Dalton. Now, I do think the matchup's a little bit different here. It's not going to be quite as much too high, keep everything underneath. I think with what we saw, the pressure is totally on Matt Nagy. He has to adjust. And they got to at least try to go downfield a little bit more. What I wonder, though, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, now Dalton's pretty good at taking care of the football, but will that result in some riskier throws that end up in turnovers? It's a possibility. So, look, as all I can go off of is the plan I think is going to be in place, which is Dalton starting. I do think Justin Fields maybe sees a few more snaps. But with it the way it is, I like the Bengals. I think it'll be a little bit closer. And I think I'll say 24-20, somewhere in that same area. Maybe 23-20. Let's go 23-20.
And what's your bold prediction within that?
What's my bold prediction within that? That I think Justin Fields scores another touchdown. Is that bold?
No. Well, even
if you do it 2 weeks in a row with limited snaps, I think
yeah,
it's
yeah, even
still
if it's
bold.
7 or 8 snaps. Okay. Okay. Well, if that happens.
But here's the thing. Can I put in one caveat?
Okay.
I think if they make the switch to Justin in the middle of the game, I think the Bears win. So, does that make sense?
Yeah. Here's my bold prediction, Adam. Well, that would be a bold prediction if Justin Fields actually takes the field, leads them to victory. That's more like a called a dream scenario.
Yeah. By the way, that wasn't my bold prediction.
Yeah.
I'm saying that if that scenario plays out where they actually do make a switch in the middle of the game, then my prediction changes to the Bears winning.
Okay. My bold prediction is, even though I agree with everything that Paul just said, just in terms of Andy Dalton and his limitations, what Jesse Bates may do to him to debate him into interception, even use it that way. See how I did that?
I did.
I think the Bears' defense, at this point, here's just a general bold prediction. The Bears' defense plays better. They play well enough to win because I think everybody is just writing them off right now.
Play better. It's not that it wouldn't be that hard.
Well,
that's not bold.
But I think that's the bold prediction here because everybody thinks they're done. I don't think they're done yet. If they sting it up in this game, then okay, they're done. You know, stick the fork in them, all that.
They gave up 8.7 yards per play last week if you take the kneel downs out. Like, it would be impossible to play worse.
Yes. Yes. But people still think you just said they're going to score points. The Bengals are going to score points.
Well, yeah, but I think both can be true. I think the Bears can play better defense and still give up points.
Oh, is this a bold prediction? They only give up 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
So the Bears defense only gives up 2 touchdowns. Okay. So I'm going to take the Bears 20-17.
Bold predictions.
So you got the Bears winning.
I got the Bears winning. Except okay. It doesn't happen here. I think Justin Fields definitely starts in week 4.
What happens in week 3? They just punt on the Browns?
They do.
They just, we're going to Cleveland and we're just going to lose. We're going to be 0-3. All right. Woo.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
All right. Let's get to some other games. How does that sound? It's a sneaky good one. Fox, noon. 49ers at Eagles. Eagles look pretty good in week 1. Yeah, Jalen Hurts looked pretty good in week 1. That was a little bit of a surprising development. Not many people high on Philadelphia right now, including myself. But I have liked Jalen Hurts, as I've made very clear on this podcast. So, good matchup. I think the 49ers are a good team, though. And they certainly showed that until they pretty much decided to stop playing in the last 6-7 minutes or so against the Lions last week when they nearly gave up what would have been one of the more remarkable, crazy comebacks in NFL history had the Lions been able to get the ball one more time and maybe score. But I think the 49ers are a little too good here. I think this is going to be a good game. But I think the 49ers win and probably just barely cover that 3, like maybe win by 4, like 24-20 or something like that.
So when I was compiling these games, this one stood out to me because I do think both teams are pretty good, even the Eagles with, you know, the new young quarterback. But that's the part of the point, too, I put them on. You have the 49ers who have the same plan for Trey Lance, their young quarterback, and you have Jalen Hurts taking over for the Eagles. So young quarterbacks, put them in the conversation. That's why I like this game. I'm taking the 49ers by like a touchdown. I do think overall they're the superior team, and I think their defense will give Hurts problems this week, even though I do think, actually, I fully believe Jalen Hurts is going to be a pretty darn good starting quarterback in the NFL.
You know, there's some unfamiliarity or infamiliarity, whatever that word is, non-familiar.
Fox. Not John Fox.
You've not played that one in a long time.
I know.
I forget how it just stops abruptly at the end.
You know, there's some unfamiliarity or infamiliarity, whatever that word is, non-familiar.
You know, there's been a lot of complaining about Matt Nagy's press conferences lately and how he just says a lot of words, and like, I'll still take that any day over.
Yes, 100%.
Over, you know.
I mean, I can't answer that. I mean, this is like, I don't know, horse racing.
Just saying things. Horse racing.
Wait, what? It's like horse racing?
No.
Vikings at Cardinals.
305 on Fox. The Cardinals are a 3.5-point favorite. This is an interesting spread because the Cardinals look really good. They go into Tennessee and dominate the Titans, a good football team. Vikings did not look good, and you'd think this would be more than 3.5 based on what you saw in week 1, but obviously Vegas is not overreacting too much here. And, you know, as you typically have in week 2, there are some corrections made, right, and it probably narrows the gap a little bit on both sides. But, and the Vikings seem to have some issues. Offensive line, Kyler Murray, man, he looked really good. That offense is clicking. So maybe I'm walking into a trap here, but I think the Cardinals win.
Yeah.
And probably cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cardinals by a touchdown. Some of the plays that Kyler Murray made last week were just phenomenal. Reasons why I want to see Justin Fields play, just the things he could do. Again, beyond the play. Cardinals by a touchdown.
Was, you know, kind of unusual about Brian was he kind of played like a monster man in New Mexico.
CBS 325, Cowboys at Chargers. Another fun game. Man, there's some fun teams out there.
Chargers and Cowboys.
You know, the Bears could be a fun team if they played Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. You know, the Cowboys, you got Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert. Man, Herbert's just You see the Chargers, my guy Rashawn Slater, they put out a highlight video on Monday of their left tackle. How funny is that? But also real, like legit highlights. That's how good he played in his first game.
It was against Chase Young, was it not?
Yes. And he was a mate. First NFL game. And by the way, it wasn't the first time he faced Chase Young. Remember what we talked about, Rashawn Slater, all throughout the draft was that game against Ohio State in 2019 where he shut Chase Young down. So that's why they drafted him. And he looked pretty good. So, yeah, the Chargers got something cooking there. And that defense with Brandon Staley, again, we talked about earlier, he found a way to get Joey Bosa to the quarterback. So I liked what I saw from the Cowboys, though, in week one against Tampa. So this will be an interesting game. I want to make you pick it first. I want to see if you can influence me.
I'm going Cowboys just to cover. Chargers win. I just think they're the better overall team. Like, I still think Dallas has problems. I really do. I like Dak Prescott. You know that. They could cover, but I think the Chargers win.
Yeah, I like your pick a lot. Because the thing was, is it, the Chargers get that win, but I don't think Washington... I think Washington's a good team, not a great team, but they lose their starting quarterback in that game, and it's still close. It really took an Antonio Gibson fumble. You and I were sitting there actually watching that game together in Los Angeles before the Bears game, and... You know, so it wasn't. I'd actually say the Cowboys look better than the Chargers, like as a full team in week one. Herbert's obviously very good. So I think the Chargers probably pull this out at home, but agree that it'll be close enough that the Cowboys cover.
You're not listening, Chris.
Sunday night on NBC, 7:20, the Chiefs go to Baltimore. And the Ravens already 0-1. The Chiefs were nearly 0-1 with their first game against the Browns. The Ravens are a 3.5-point home dog here at night. Tough place to play in Baltimore at night. A little bit of history here, though. And I've walked into this a couple times, I think, where I've picked the Ravens in this matchup. And then the Chiefs just go in there and win relatively easy. So I'm not going to do it again this time. Give me Kansas City.
100% with you. It's going to play out like last week. Ravens look good for a period of time. The Chiefs defense figures it out, and Patrick Mahomes just does Patrick Mahomes-like things. And like a 10-point lead by the Ravens becomes like a 4-point deficit, like within two possessions. That's how it plays out usually when you play Patrick Mahomes. So give me the Chiefs covering in this.
Bears.
Aaron Rodgers. Monday Night Football.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
7:15 on ESPN. Lions at Packers. How's this for a week two matchup? They're just like, we gotta knock them. This Dan Campbell guy, he's too entertaining. We gotta get at least one game with Dan Campbell, but we better do it early. Because this is not a good football team. Hey, no. The Lions almost came back on the 49ers, but man, if you watched that, that was such garbage time. Packers 11-point. When's the last time a Monday Night Football game had a double-digit spread?
And you know Aaron Rodgers is going to cover this, right?
Actually, probably happened last year. I feel like there was a game where didn't the Bucks play the Giants like in the middle of the season?
Yeah, late
on Monday Night Football, and I think they were like a 13-point favorite or something like that. All right, so Lions at Green Bay, 11 points.
No, I'm taking the Packers. 11 points is a lot of points. But you know how this is going to play out. Like, Aaron Rodgers does not have bad back-to-back games, especially not as awful as he was in week one. He's not going to be that bad. He's going to be great. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's going to throw 4 touchdown passes. Jared Goff can't keep up. Give me the Packers by 2 touchdowns.
Bears.
I don't love it. But mainly it's probably because I'm angry that I locked up the Packers last week and they just made me look like an idiot. But I agree. I think the Packers at home on Monday night, they fix some things. This Lions team, not great. Maybe they come back and do the backdoor cover thing. But you know what? The crazy thing about that comeback last week for the Lions is they still didn't cover. They still lost by 8. The spread was 7.5. So even after all of that against the 49ers at home, they still did not cover. So I think that's a good reason to take the Packers here. So,
and the Lions stink.
Do I dare lock up the Packers 2 weeks in a row?
No.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
No, I'm actually going to lock up the Chiefs, though.
I'm going to lock up the Cardinals.
There you go.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right. Well, we're split on the Bears game. It'll be interesting. I think both during the game and then afterwards, depending on how it all plays out, certainly will be interesting. Soldier Field. It's going to be a nice day.
It will be. It'll be hot.
Hot day.
90s, they say. Tracy Butler, Channel 7, ABC, 90-degree day.
Seems like a nice day to play your rookie quarterback. Just saying that, you know, the sun will be out, the skyline, you know, all this stuff they talk about, Soldier Field on a lakefront, how great it is, blah, 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 blah. No. Why don't you make the product on the field look better?
That's two podcasts in a row where blah, 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 blah has
been
part of
our analysis. Well, there's been a lot of blah, blah, blah lately.
Yes, we need to get over the blah. A
lot of blahs. A lot of blah, 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 and I think people are getting sick of it. My goodness. All right, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns. Should mention our voicemail line. Remember, make sure you write this number down. 872-221-0046. We will tweet it out during the game, but if we remember to, we try to. And thanks to our great producer, Kent Garrison, does a great job, not only with those voicemails every week. They were pretty good this week. Got some tweets about that. They were good. And he also does a great job putting this podcast together every single time. Remember, you can watch us on YouTube. Find our YouTube channel, Hogan John. Subscribe. Hit the notification button. We appreciate you doing that. T-shirts are up on obviousshirts.com. Some good ones. Make sure you get that Walking Bear logo. It's pretty sweet. Follow us on Twitter. Read us, NBCSportsChicago.com. For me, TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns. For Johnsy, the Fishman, and all that. Any final thoughts?
No. That's it?
No.
Revenge game, everybody.
Revenge. He already had the revenge game. Now it's just the...
You know, I'm kidding.
Blah, blah, blah game.
See ya.
Justin Fields to the dome! Let's go, baby!